There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to the Hort Week podcast. I'm Hort Week editor Matthew Appleby, and today I'm with plant breeder Peter Moore, who has been creating new plants for 40 years. He started work at Hillier in 1960 with some legendary Hillier propagators. In 1997, he left Hillier's to become propagator at Longstock Park Nursery in Hampshire, and he's still responsible for the national collection of Buddleia held at the nursery and is also a member of the RHS Hardy Plant Trial Committee. So, hello, Peter. How are you doing?
Oh, fine, thank you. Thank you for inviting me onto the programme.
No, well, it's great to have you on. Now, tell me about your career journey.
Well, my journey. I was very fortunate while working in the Hillier propagation in the early 70s, and that time responsible for the seed and cuttings that arrived on a near daily basis from botanical gardens and nurseries, plant collectors like Sir Harold Hillier and Roy Lancaster. In one consignment, the seed of Choicera arizonica from Sally Walker, Southwest USA. I was inspired by Peter Dummer, the Hillier great propagator and plant breeder, who showed and monitored me in the skills of plant breeding. So I made my first hybrid, and Pete Dummer came up with the name Choicera Aztec Pearl.
Brilliant. So was that your greatest success?
Yes, that was my greatest and first success. The first hybrid of the genus launched at Chelsea in 1989, pride of place on the monument Hillier's stand and coverage in all the reading newspapers of the day in their gardening section.
Excellent. No, those are the days. So how do you breed plants?
I spend hundreds of hours plant breeding. All the flowers, all the stamens are carefully removed from the flowers before I pollinate them with pollen and cover them with a pollinating bag. Nothing is left to chance.
Excellent. So what plant has been the most rewarding for you?
Choices. Basically, I raised with Aztec Pearl, the first hybrid of the genus, and then carried on and, in fact, have introduced six choices over the last few years.
Oh, yeah. Now, can we just talk about the state of British plant breeding? So I'm just interested to know your insight after so many decades in that sector.
Well, it'd be interesting to know how many of the 19 or so plants shortlisted each year for the RHS Plant of the Year are still available in garden centres. Choicera Sundance or Aztec Pearl is still available in garden centres after 30 years, so I doubt very few of these 19. So each year are still available. So Super Rose Superstar, that was an all singing, all dancing plant a few years ago, and that's nowhere to be seen now.
Oh, yeah, well, certainly stood the test of time, some of yours. But how do you market your plants?
with great difficulty at times. Not owning a nursery, it can be difficult, but I've been helped along the way by John Hedger of Newry, Neil Alcock of Salent, Charles Carr when he was a production manager at Low Waters, now at Hilliers, marketing agents Parntip and Genesis, Planthaven in the USA. In 40 years of plant breeding, I've raised sort of 45 plants, 25 reasonably successful, and a good return on four.
Ah, yes. So how do you get the plants out and about there? How do you trial them?
I trial all the plants in my garden for several years, make sure they're hardy, and propagate them, find out what the propagation problems are of any of them. And then I send out, I've been fortunate enough over the years to find some good contacts by working at Hilliers through contacts through the IPS. And so now I'm able to go to the likes of John Hedger, Neil Alcock, to offer my plants and for different agents in this country and in Europe.
You've got a brilliant website to help market your plants.
Yes, I must be probably the only independent plant breeder with a web page. This enables me to fully describe all my plants, give stockists where the gardeners can buy them, and also give comments on blogs, etc., what people can see the plants I'm offering. I mean, like John Hedger said a few years ago, he wrote to me and he said, still think White Dazzler is the market leader of choices. Other new forms will come and go and make the little impact.
It's very complimentary. So as a specialist breeder of niche crops, the big breeding companies are spreading the net and working in more and more genera. So where do you see the future for small-scale specialist breeders like yourself?
I think it's going to be very, very difficult. Obviously, the big companies are spending lots and lots of money. They're going into producing plants in the laboratory, different forms of propagation which an amateur can't do. And also, will plant breeders of the future, will they want to spend 20, 30 hours of their own time working in the evenings? I somewhat doubt it.
No, indeed. So do you think there'll be specialist plant breeders in the future?
Well, possibly. I mean, I can't really see. I think it would be mainly through nurseries and large companies. They're getting bigger and bigger, more likely to be that than people actually spending many hours of their own time trying to develop new plants.
So you mentioned COVID, but how's the impact of Brexit been for you? Have you had increased PBR costs or more costs and hassle from shipping plants?
Well, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's been a total disaster. I used to send plants, cuttings to Planttip in Holland, or Peter would come to my garden most years for trial material, but that doesn't happen anymore. A few customers in the EU have asked me to supply, but the cost and hassle of shipping plants, it's not worth it. If I'm using Genesis more as my UK agent now. Unless you strike gold and raise a new colour break, a plant that's going to sell in the thousands for several years, just have EU protection, and in the UK, the gentleman's agreement, breeders' costs are greatly reduced, so I can offer the grower a lower royalty rate, both ways to operate on trust between the two parties. I have 20 plants not protected by PBR, a royalty rate of 5 to 10p. This agreement is either directly with the grower or through a UK agent. Some selling low numbers.
So another issue is, are you selecting plants that perform better in peat-free mixes?
Not really. I've been trying to grow most of my plants peat-free for the last 5 years. I've had problems with some genera, i.e. choices. I root my cuttings in sort of peat pearl mix, which I find better.
So what problems have you had with the choices?
I just found them very difficult to root into the compost, which is available in garden centres. There seems to be no comparison between the compost that you get in garden centres to what is commercially what the commercial nurseries use. And like I said, a friend sort of gave me a bag recently of the commercial stuff, and within a few days, roots appeared on the choicier cuttings. They just something they didn't like in the normal garden centre rooting or growing compost.
What P3 mixes do you use?
Oh, just the RHS mixes from garden centres, really. But I only grow, so, you know, say 400 or 500 plants a year in small 9 centimeter pots, so I don't need a lot, so I can't order direct from companies.
Do you tinker with the mixes? Do you add additions?
Oh well, I add perlite and Cornish grit, granite chippings to give it a bit more drainage to the compost.
Oh yeah. So how has production technique changes in nurseries impacted the specialist breeder? I mean, for instance, some crops perform worse in peat substitute composts, whereas some perform just as well, or even better. What have you found?
Well, you know, say 75%, I haven't seen any difference. They've just been growing away. Otherwise, like I said, I've found that choices, basically, I've struggled with, whether it's the compost and just one or two, but mainly sort of Rutaceae I've had problems with.
Okay, now let's look to the future. What are you seeing on the horizon? What are you breeding? What's the holy grail for you?
Find a yellow hardy budrea. There was a yellow budrea, tender one, called Ruiciana Margaret Pike, which has a flower spike about 18 inches long. If you could get a hardy Davidii type with yellow flowers, that would be fantastic. But breeders have tried over many years but not come up with it. It's like Wellianna Golden Glow, but as a spike, a yellow spike, that would be wonderful. So basically, budrea hybridization continues every year. So does choice years. But I'm also working on Escalonias, trying to get more varieties or cultivars more suitable for hedging plants, also more suitable more compact varieties to go into the shrub border. I've got several at the moment being trialled, and these also will be going through genesis in this country.
Are there any of your choice years which you think should be more widely grown?
Yeah, our choice year, Royal Lace, has very compact, nice fine foliage, flowers in the springtime. It was introduced by Charles Carr when he was production manager at the Low Water Nurseries. Also, Gardener's World came around my garden in 2018, actually on the hottest day of the year, and Joe Swift particularly liked this plant, so that was an endorsement as well. I think it should be more widely grown, like I said, and it is being grown by a few more Rhino nurseries at the moment.
What about your Budleia National Collection? How does that work?
Well, when I went to, obviously, Longstock Nursery 25 years ago, 26 years ago, and there was a national collection at the nursery. It wasn't particularly well looked after at that time, and I just asked if I could become responsible for it. And so over the last 20 years, it's been expanded and possibly one of the best national collections in the country. So I spend a few hours each week looking after it. And instead of writing a book on budreas, I decided to set up a web page in similar format to my Bred by Peter Moore, where I can describe the 150 budreas in the collection.
Would you write a book?
No. I think the trouble with a book is the pictures of the varieties all gets very dated very quickly. With a web page, you can obviously got to maintain it, but you can keep all the latest varieties. You can change the information and give far more background help to both the professional and the amateur growers, basically, or gardeners.
I see. And the Plant Finder lists nearly 300 Budleia, but you wouldn't recommend them all, would you?
No, I certainly wouldn't. There seem to be a vast number of new varieties, especially dwarf ones, coming in from the USA at the moment. And they may do well in America, but they certainly don't seem to be suitable for British growers. Some of them have very large flowers, but then flowers are sort of too big for the plants, or in other cases they're supposed to be dwarf. Even the buds ones, which were originally introduced as dwarf, will, if they're not pruned, get up to about a couple of metres, 2.5 metres high. I mean, buds are very good, but they're not really dwarf as they were originally launched as a dwarf plant.
Oh, I see. So tell me about some of the budleias you've launched.
Well, obviously, a couple of years ago, I launched Budweiser's Berries and Cream. This is the first variegated Budweiser, pink, white, and purple. And certainly, it's very good at attracting butterflies. And then this year, I'm going to have a Budweiser Midliana for a fanfare. It's going to be relaunched. It was launched a couple of years ago, but for various reasons, production problems, it didn't continue. Anyway, for a fanfare, has purple violet flowers like Budweiser Midliana, but 95% are layers of silky double petals, strikingly beautiful. It'll be grown as a shrub, although it's best trained on a short 1 meter stem to show off the pendulous flowers in a container on a patio. Being grown by Saint Nurseries and marketed by Genesis.
That sounds pretty good. Now, tell me about Hebes.
Hebes, as you know, were in the Wisley tribe at the moment, were all killed by the frost just last winter. Not in the trial was Hebe Quartz, a dwarf midsummer hybrid marketed by Plant International. And so no damage. All the plants near looked dead, but not this one, not a single leaf. A gem of a plant that should be more widely grown.
Brilliant. Now, well, that's some brilliant recommendations. But what I want to hear is your ultimate recommendation, your favourite plants. In the Hort Week podcast, we always ask our guests, what is their favourite plant? I think I might be able to guess what it is, but what is it, Peter?
My favourite plant is Choicea White Dazzler. Because the royalty returns are good, it's enabled me to be a fellow of Perennial, the main charity I support, helping people in horticulture.
But why is it so good?
Choicea White Dazzler is so good because it flowers twice a year. It has, it seems to be exceptionally hardy, grows in most soil conditions. In fact, on one of the talks I gave, or in fact Gardener's World, Bob Brown described it as his favourite plant, so because it grows in all conditions, good in soil, of all soils, good in shade, good in sun. So Bob gave it 10 out of 10.
Excellent. No, it's been fantastic talking to you, Peter, and getting your insight into so many decades of plant breeding and what's good and what's maybe not so good and what we're looking forward to in the future. So this has been the Hort Week podcast with plant breeder Peter Moore, and I'm Hort Week editor Matthew Appleby. And make sure you never miss a Hort Week podcast. Subscribe to or follow Hort Week podcasts via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or your preferred podcast platform. So once again, thanks to Peter, and goodbye till next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.